This summer, as my family and I were leaving the beach one late afternoon, happy but sticky with sunscreen and sand, we passed another family just arriving. And it was obvious that they were freshly showered and coiffed, attired in color-coordinating outfits. They appeared stunning. What was also apparent was that the squabbling did not cease as they posed for photos in a variety of places, with the dunes, with the water, umbrellas, a picturesque path as their backdrops. I knew what they were shooting for, one perfect picture to grace a holiday card. The old days of fumbling with film and praying that some serviceable image might surface are over. Despite the underlying animosity that punctured the downtime in between shots, I know that their ultimate choice, the winning photo, will surely reflect a family that has it all together, smiling and well-groomed, enjoying beautiful surroundings. And the holiday card, on steroids, is social media, where we share ourselves with the world. We tend to those postings and curate them with great fervor. And don't get me wrong, the ability to reach out to connect almost instantaneously is a real gift. And the pleasure of sharing in real time, whether a photo or a quick thought, is one of the marvels of living in today's world. These kinds of connections are an open door, an invitation to share your life. When we see the affirming likes on Facebook or Instagram, or click on our friends' pages, there's no denying that positive feeling. We read it as approval, sharing, connection. All good, right? Well, not necessarily so, because something is amiss in that virtual space. I know I'm not the only one to have noticed that there is a gap between what we show the world and what happens in real life. It has to be that way, because no one, no family is happy all the time. Nor is the pattern of the average day leaping from one achievement to another. It just isn't real. And who really wants to share the messy side of their life after all? Our parents' generation called it putting your best foot first and not airing dirty laundry in public. But now, the virtual door is always open and company drops by all the time. Just as we are thoughtful about how we present ourselves to others day to day, in what we wear and how we speak, so our virtual lives have become a curated, more idealized version of what we want to show others and perhaps hide from ourselves. In that narration, how we tell our daily stories can create a cycle that's hard to break. By creating an airbrushed version, we construct an artificial vision for others to see and admire, and they do the same. And after we view their perfect world and affirm it with a click or like it from afar, we reflect on what we've seen, whether it left us feeling doubtful or joyful, lacking or right in the swim, and respond in turn by curating, upgrading, airbrushing our own presentation with more focus and discretion. And this happens countless times throughout the day. Present, compare, judge, respond, repeat, and repeat. But take your finger off the send button and pause to ask yourself, What would it mean if we remove the pressure of perfection? Whether in what we personally publish in our virtual communities, or in the pictures we paint with our words in our personal relationships. What if we dared to share our authentic selves? It's a revolutionary idea in our digital age, almost as antiquated, and I want to invite you to read antiquated as charming, as if I had suggested documenting your day with a fountain pen instead of texting. But how else to write in your own hand? Is there anything more authentic? There's a rabbinic insight that applies in this season, captured in the word play and intention between two holidays, Purim and Yom Kippurim. Noting the similarity in sound, the rabbis explained that Purim is the time when we put on masks to express frivolity. But on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, that K sound meaning a day like Purim, we are invited to take off the masks we use daily to shield our true selves, and so hide no more. There's something uniquely satisfying in not having to pretend, even a little. When Queen Esther revealed herself to save our people, she was also able to stop living a lie and come out as a Jew. On these days of awe, we reveal our flaws to ourselves so we can learn from them. We don't curate our lives, we reflect on them, flaws and all. I want to share an expression with you that I learned while standing with a family at the grave of their beloved parent. With gratitude, a daughter recounted the words her father told her when she was facing a particularly difficult challenge. He said, "Remember who you are." This expression was meant to remind her that the person she was is enough. She didn't need to change or pretend or aspire to be different. And this loving father's wisdom has stayed with me ever since. In fact, I've inscribed these words into my rabbi's manual, and it accompanies me whenever I am welcoming a baby into our community or comforting a bereaved family. The enduring lesson this parent imparted is about retaining a sense of dignity and being authentic, finding satisfaction in who you are uniquely, including the flaws. That's what makes us human. But that's not easy. We know how hard it is to remove our masks before God, before whom there is no public judgment. And it may be harder to do so with family and friends and coworkers who see us in a certain light, and that shapes their expectations of us. What if, as we renew our lives in this holiday season, we also reconsider the way we share by ending the masquerade that our lives are perfect? Could we expect to find support and care from our family and friends and our colleagues? I ask about that last point, what can we expect? Because I know from conversations with so many that it can be very difficult to ask for what we need. In order to do so, we have to share our true selves. And that makes us vulnerable. And vulnerability is almost always paired with a feeling of discomfort and inadequacy. We know what's behind the mask we so carefully apply, an alphabet of challenges, from anxieties and betrayal to challenges with children or childlessness, disappointments, embarrassments, failures, growing waistlines. The alphabet continues. We hide them because they make us feel imperfect around everyone else who seems to have conquered or immune to the very things that make us feel exposed or embarrassed. We hide them for fear that people will think less of us. But it's precisely this inability to admit that we are not perfect, our unwillingness to present our whole selves, that interferes with making a real connection with others, a connection with the facade instead of what is beneath, is a fantasy, a flawed contact. Not to mix holiday metaphors, I want to ask if you have ever heard about the Latke moment. Many of you will remember Julia Child, whose raison d'être was to bring French cuisine into the kitchen of the home chef through the magic of TV. And in the so-called Latke episode, I'm sure she called them crêpes de pommes de terre, we see classic Julia Child. While delicately trying to turn that potato latke, she dropped it on the floor instead, and she laughed at herself. Her very public exposure of her mishap, that even she, an expert, was not perfect in the kitchen, endeared her to us all. Her mistake emboldened us to try, even at the risk of failure. That's the latke moment. We all have it. The experience which lays bare our shortcomings, our fears, our struggles. That's the risk. But the benefit is that our revelation may spark a response in someone else. And we see this in our own reaction to biblical figures. The brilliance of our biblical stories is that the people we hold up as role models don't hide from their own imperfections. They are our exemplars because their story exposes them as human beings, not mythical Greek heroes. Their human struggles are our own. Where they have to curate their lives, instead of reading the tragic and poignant story of Abraham's pain at submitting to God's command to offer up his beloved child, Isaac, we would have an Instagram image of Abraham and Isaac at the top of Mount Moriah with a caption, "At the summit." Amazing 3-day father-son hike with only firewood and flint. Yes! But instead, the Bible gives us a taste of real life by depicting the sibling rivalry between Rachel and Leah that made children the definition of their lives and ultimately led to Rachel's death, in showing Moses as a leader who was angry and frustrated by his role, and Miriam and Aaron as siblings who gossiped about their brother's wife. And there are countless more. We all have our favorite biblical hero, and what we cherish as much as their accomplishments are their flaws. By showing us the fullness of their lives, including their faults, these classic stories allow us to recognize and accept that we are not alone in having imperfections. When we acknowledge our struggle, that's when we may begin to move beyond feelings of isolation and, for some, silent suffering. A story is told of Rabbi Moshe Leib of Sasov. Moshe Leib, talking to his disciples, said, "Today, I learned the meaning of love from a drunk. On my way home from visiting my Rebbe, I stopped at the tavern to get a cool drink, and at the table next to me were two people arguing. One said to the other, 'Vladimir, you don't love me. And Vladimir screamed in response, Yuri, I have known you all my life. Of course I love you. Yuri, now weeping, shook his head and said again, Vladimir, you don't love me. Horrified now, Vladimir yelled again, Why do you say such a thing? You know I love you with all my heart. And Yuri said, No, you don't. If you loved me, you would know what hurts me. So when friends get together, but no one shares what's in their hearts, the difficulties in their marriage, or lets others in on the hardships they're having with their child or with parents, afraid of being judged, afraid of how people will change their opinion of them, they hold tightly onto their deepest feelings. Had they allowed for the give and take of their lives, perhaps they would have taken away some wisdom, or more importantly, some gentle caring of hearts reaching out. Do we put up walls to protect others from the burden of our concerns or pains? Or is the wall to protect ourselves against the possibility of a bruised ego or rejection or ridicule? When we share, we invite others in to reach toward us for something other than just the high points of celebration. If you've done it, you know it takes both courage and faith to believe that our concerns will be received with love. There's a story of an elderly gentleman who had a neighbor, a young child, who was very attached to him. In the fall, they would rake leaves together and garden in the spring. When the boy learned that the man's wife had died, he went next door to visit. Upon seeing the man cry, the child sat next to him on the porch until the man's tears had stopped. And when he returned home, his mother said to him, "What did you say to your neighbor?" And the little child said, "Nothing. I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." In our tradition, this kind of empathetic love is known as chesed. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Emeritus Chief Rabbi of London, describes it like this. Chesed is usually translated as kindness, but it also means love, a love that is loyalty, a loyalty that is love, the love that means being ever present for the other in hard times as well as good. Those who know it experience the world differently from those who do not. It is one where trust is rewarded precisely because it does not seek a reward. Chesed is the gift of love that begets love. That place within us we call chesed is a place that honors the connection between people and makes it holy. This season calls to us and reminds us that in the peak experiences of life, it's easy to feel the power of holiness. But our challenge is to open ourselves to it in the ordinary encounters of daily life, and by creating relationships with others that are empathetic and loving. By responding with understanding and compassion, that's reaching toward holiness too. So it's time to turn that camera around and take a true selfie and be honest in facing ourselves. Now is the time to deepen our bonds by acknowledging that we are not perfect, that we set ourselves up for disappointment when we pretend to be. Now is the time to reach out and apologize to those we've offended, by acting out of the fear that we might be discovered for who we really are. when we apologize for having judged someone harshly or without sufficient consideration. And when we do this, we let people know that we think that they are worthy of dignity and respect, which, after all, is all that we have been seeking for ourselves. In the face of modernity, I invite you to turn back to our tradition with these words of guidance. May I receive with an open mind and heart what is offered to me. May I learn to embrace as easily as I evaluate. May I quiet the ever-present instinct to judge and critique. May I learn to accept help from those who care for me. May generosity of spirit find a home within me. And I invite you to say, Amen. Shana Tova, may this be a year of blessing and joy for you and those you love.